We now call upon our brother Matthew Neville to give us those necessary words of exhortation. Please.
Good morning, my dear brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks for the good morning. Yeah, I've been to some meetings where the speaker says good morning and it's a resounding good morning, but that's okay. I know you're all thinking it. So we're blessed with this, with another opportunity to remember our Lord this morning, and as we prepare brothers and sisters to partake of these emblems, I just want to take a few thoughts from our reading in Luke 11. So as we've already read this morning, Jesus teaches his disciples to pray as they ask him to teach them how to pray. He teaches them that. And then he says in verses 9 and 10, "And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened." And so I want to explore just a little bit this morning why these three things are important to us, the asking and seeking and knocking. And in the spirit of the exhortation this morning, I'm just going to put out an ask that I could have some water at some point. Would be great. In the spirit of asking and receiving, that would be fantastic. Thank you. Doesn't have to be right now, but I foresee needing some in the near future. So, when I typically have read these verses and thought of these couple verses, I think of three separate yet related actions. And so perhaps this asking, seeking, and knocking is more of a progression. Maybe we can look at it as more of a progression. Thanks, Brother Jeremy. So if we look at these three things as more of a progression, and more of a connection, that we should be doing all three of these things in many of our life circumstances, perhaps in succession or all together. Not just asking without the seeking and the knocking, or knocking on the door without first making a request and searching out the right way to do so. So I question myself, do I do these things in a particular way? And I put the question, do you do them in a particular way? And are we asking our Heavenly Father, laying our requests before Him in prayer, through prayer and faith, and then seeking actively for answers with open ears and minds, with willing hearts, looking for the hand of God, looking for the example of Christ to guide us, and then knocking on the door, desiring to enter in and abide with Jesus? So on this subject of asking, I'll just turn up a few references. The first one in Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 19 and 20 says, "Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they should ask, that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." So we see and we know that there is power and significance when two or more believers are united in their requests and prayers to the Father in heaven. A little further on in Matthew 21 and starting at verse 20, Matthew 21 starting at verse 20, it says, "And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, How soon is this fig tree withered away? Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, Ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. And so belief and faith are essential in these, in our asking. And seemingly impossible tasks can be accomplished when God's power is involved. Just turning over to the Gospel of John then, in chapter 14. John 14, and starting at verse 12. It says there, Verily, verily, I say unto you, He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And so, again, we know it is only through Christ that we can accomplish anything. Just over the page in John 15 and verse 7 and 8, it says there, If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. And then just down in verse 16, Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. And so we must have our lives rooted in Christ, and have the Word living in us. And when we ask in the right way, fruit can be born, and glory be brought to Almighty God. Just over in the letter of James, chapter 1, James 1, starting at verse 2, My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. And so again, as we'll see in a little bit, faith coming out again as an essential piece of this. And as we know, Jesus rebuked the wind and the waves, and he calms the storm, even those in our own lives. And the Apostle John, in his first letter to the believers in 1 John 3, says this. Apostle John, writing in 1 John 3, verse 18, says, My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments, and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. And so we have some of these echoing of these concepts that we've read about in these references, asking, receiving confidence in God, abiding in Christ, and being found pleasing in God's sight. So what about seeking? Just turning back then to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 6 and verse 31. This is where we get that phrase in the first verse of that hymn that we sung this morning. Matthew 6, verse 31. Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And again, in the letter to the Colossians, we have another one on seeking. Colossians chapter 3, and starting at verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. And so we seek, we think about, we look towards, we meditate on the eternal, not the temporal, on the heavenly things and not the earthly. And then the last one for seeking in Acts chapter 17. Acts 17 and starting at verse 24. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. So Paul's preaching that all people have the opportunity, are called to seek and search for God, he wants to be found, and he wants to save all. As 2 Peter 3 verse 9 says, that he is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Okay, so what about this knocking piece? Let's turn back to John chapter 10, Gospel of John chapter 10. And beginning at verse 1. And this is where Jesus is describing himself as the door and as the good shepherd. So John chapter 10, verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, and they will know not the voice of, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. And said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And so we need to recognize his voice, that he is the entrance to the safety of the sheepfold, and that we need to be recognizable to him. And now we don't want to be found knocking on the door in the way that Jesus spoke about in Luke 13. Luke chapter 13 and verse 24. He says there, Strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and hath shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, We have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. And they come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last. And so again, we don't want to find ourselves in this case, knocking on the door and not being recognized. Again, we need to be following the right way and be recognizable to him. So the next two are a bit of a reversal because it's Christ who is doing the knocking. Just back a page in Luke 12 and verse 35. Luke 12 verse 35 says, Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. And verse 40, Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. And again, the second one in Revelation 3 verse 20, it also says, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, and I will sup with him, and he with me. Again, echoing Luke 12, we need to be watching and waiting with anticipation, ready to open that door. And so I just want to explore for a couple of minutes here the significance in linking the scriptural passages that make up the hymn that we've sung this morning, the three verses. So, the first verse, Seek Ye First, is from Matthew 6, verse 33, which we read. And then our reading in Luke 11, verse 9, we get the phrase, Ask, Seek, and Knock. And then in John 14, verse 6, we have the verse that makes up the way, the truth, and the life in the third verse of the hymn. So perhaps you've thought before of linking these verses in this way. I thought it was interesting when I started to look into the scriptural passages where these hymn 356 verses come from, and how at least in the second and third verses there are these sets of three that we find. So we have the ask, seek, and knock in the second verse of the hymn, and the way, the truth, and the life in the third verse. And John 14, verse 6, where we get the third verse from, it says, Jesus saith unto him, he's speaking to Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so then we have, in this way, these three elements, the way, the truth, and the life. And so thinking about Jesus as the way, perhaps we think about Hebrews 10, verse 19 to 20, which says, Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And then the second element, Jesus is the truth. John 8, verse 31 and 32 say, Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then the third element, Jesus is the life. John 11, verse 24 and 25 say, Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And so then putting these sets of three together, if we connect the asking, the seeking, and the knocking with the way, the truth, and the life, we end up with what I thought was interesting, asking for direction in the way that we should go, seeking the truth, and knocking on the door of life. So then, how do we show this spirit to our brothers and sisters, to each other, and also to our fellow man, in the preaching that we do to those around us, and in the things that we speak, but also in our actions, the work of our hands and the path of our feet? How do we show these things to each other? Matthew 5, verse 42 says, Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. So a spirit and a willingness to give, of being generous. 1 Peter 3, verse 14. says, But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. So being prepared at all times to answer a question about the wonderful hope that we have set before us through God's word and promises. And then in James chapter 5, James 5, verse 14. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the ecclesia, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if ye have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And so another way we can show this is praying for each other, one another, being there and involved, willing to help with each other's needs. And so there's an essential ingredient in this asking, seeking, and knocking. And what is that? What is essential for us to have when we lay our petitions before our Heavenly Father's feet and seek and knock at the door? Well, it is, of course, faith. We've read it a few times in some of the places we've gone. Faith that when we ask, when we implore, and lay our needs and our petitions before Almighty God, that He will answer. And sometimes the answer will not necessarily be what we want or what would be our first choice. Faith is necessary when we seek and search out our Heavenly Father, and when we look to Jesus, that they will be found. And faith, that when we knock on the door with conviction and in truth and with a sincere heart, it will be open to us. So as we will shortly partake of these emblems together, brothers and sisters, and as we think about our Lord, His perfect example, His life of sacrifice, and the many lessons He left for us, may we be encouraged and comforted through the words of Jesus Himself. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened.